afternoon and welcome to Louisiana Focus, a production of the Communication Department of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. I'm Hannah Trahan.
And I'm Ariella Blanc. We will discover how one organization in New Orleans is planning to help the victims of Hurricane Sandy.
And 22 states have passed or have considered a law that requires welfare applicants to be drug tested. Will Louisiana be the next state to pass the bill?
Also, UL Lafayette's bookstore has recently changed locations. But will this move benefit sales?
And the UL Lafayette Pride of Acadia and a marching band has been selected to play at this year's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But will financial woes stop them in their tracks?
Learn how victims are told to stand up to bullies in one local high school.
Then we'll see One Bistro's rise to fame and learn the secret of their success, especially during the holiday season. All these stories and more coming up next on Louisiana Focus.
Hurricane Sandy brought great destruction to the Northeast, and residents there are struggling to recover. Members of one particular organization in Louisiana have decided to be a part of the recovery process. Jessica Taylor has more on this story.
Residents of southern Louisiana are very familiar with the destruction that a hurricane can cause, but those who live in the Northeast were not as prepared for the destructive power of Hurricane Sandy. With more than 100 deaths and thousands of homes destroyed by the storm, residents and officials of the affected states are looking to find a way to recover. Kenny Nassar, a student at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, understands just how difficult the recovery process will be for his family in New York.
My cousin on the coast of Long Beach, house was completely gone. Their boat and their dock was flooded and drifted away, and within that whole area, 110 houses were gone.
Nassar's family faces a long journey of recovery, and it's a process that cannot be done without help. One organization in New Orleans called St. Paul's Homecoming Center has made helping hurricane victims its mission. St. Paul's was established in order to assist residents in New Orleans after the devastation caused by Hurricane Katrina. Jennifer McGee, the development director for St. Paul's, says aiding those in the Northeast is equally important.
We are unique in that we have so much experience to share with other people that are going through disasters. Our experience can be of great value to people in Sandy or in other natural disasters. So we're just beginning. Sandy would be our first venture outside of the Greater New Orleans area. But we're feeling led to take this concept to other places just because we don't feel like there's really anybody that has the kind of experience that we have.
McGee, along with the staff at St. Paul's, plans to establish temporary offices in New Jersey to better assist the residents there. She also hopes to raise $5,000 to send $100 gift cards to families in need.
Well, $100 is going to buy them a week's worth of groceries or some gas or some clothes if they've lost all their clothes. It's not going to solve all their problems. But we come behind that with our case managers and really work with them and say, you know, what do you need help with to put your life back together?
St. Paul's Homecoming Center may not be able to bring total recovery to the area affected by Hurricane Sandy, but the organization does provide a necessary start in the rebuilding process, as well as hope for better days. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Jessica Taylor.
The Louisiana House of Representatives recently passed a bill requiring all welfare recipients to take a drug test, but the Senate stopped the action. Kelly Tian has more on this proposal.
It may be harder for Americans to obtain welfare, as 23 states have or are considering a requirement for recipients to take drug tests before receiving any government assistance. Louisiana State Representative Sherman Mack proposed the bill, making Louisiana one of those 23 states. Mack believes the legislation is aimed to help people rid of drug habits in order to work again and deter the misuse of state funds. Mack has gained a substantial amount of supporters, such as Zanny West.
I am an American citizen that works hard for every dollar that I make. I had to pass a drug test just to get the job that I have now. And I think it is ridiculous that there are American citizens that are government-issued fund babies that get everything that they ever spend from the United States government off our tax dollars, and yet they don't have to pass a drug test.
The proposal of the bill was introduced to the Senate, ending in a 3-1 vote against it. A Senate committee did not support the idea, believing that there is currently no proof on the screening process for welfare recipients not already being effective. Many individuals like BJ Crist agree with the Senate's decision of not drug testing welfare recipients.
Our country is not in an economic state to be throwing away money on an idea that welfare is not already regulated when it is. And anybody who hasn't had welfare before or been on welfare before would not know. But welfare, there's so many hoops that you have to jump through to get it. There's so many applications you have to fill out, so much that you have to go through. It's already tiresome. There's no reason that we should be wasting money on this when it's already selective. It's discrimination. I mean, to say that everybody who is on welfare is on drugs, I mean, that's basically what we're saying by saying that we need to enforce some type of drug testing for welfare. By doing this, we are being discriminatory to low poverty areas.
There are currently over 56,000 people in Louisiana on welfare. Passing of the bill would have required recipients to sign a consent form before drug testing. If a recipient failed a drug test, the government assistance would be suspended for a minimum of 1 year. Although the idea fails in the Louisiana legislature, Sherman Mack says he will attempt to reintroduce the bill next year. For Louisiana Focus, this is Kelly Tien.
The change of location for the bookstore at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette has brought convenience, but also complications. Hannah Trahan gives us the details.
The change of location for the university bookstore has brought complications. Students have to reorient themselves with the new layout and lack of parking. Grant Ellis, a UL Lafayette student, was a bit turned around during his first visit.
I didn't exactly know where it was because this is my first time going into the new location. The layout of it is different. People aren't used to it yet. I was surprised to see they did not have a designated area for the book sacks.
Ellen Boudreau, a cashier at the bookstore, says their staff tries to help students adjust to the changes.
That has been confusing for everybody, including new employees, because we're also hiring new employees right now. We help people out, and we have as many people as we can on the floor directing everybody.
Ellis believes the perception of the students' views on the convenience of the facility is situational. Though the changes leave some confused, the bookstore has profited from the move.
Ultimately, I think it has affected sales in a positive way. Because it's a center location on campus now, so more people come in and more people do buy stuff.
Boudreau also gives hope to the future addition to the store.
The tent will have all of our merchandise that we sell at football games, such as clothing, household accessories, and they will have some books on the second story of the tent.
Renovation and expansion of the student union, including the bookstore, is not entering its second year, and when completed, will become part of a multi-million dollar master plan for the university. Last year, a series of public discussions helped establish this vision, and even though the student union predated those chariots, it will fit in the grand design. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Hannah Trojo. The chance to march at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Only 10 marching bands are selected each year to play at the parade, and the UL Lafayette Pride of Acadiana Marching Band is scheduled to be one of them. Emily Page has a story.
Was a first for the University of the Louisiana at Lafayette Pride of Acadiana Marching Band, as it was their first appearance at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. This year, they have been selected again. However, the only thing that is holding them back is the remaining $60,000 needed to cover the expenses. Professor Brian Taylor, Pride of Acadiana Marching Band Director, explains, the cost of the entire trip is astronomical.
It's $450,000 to take 275 people from Lafayette to New York City for 5 days. That includes the charter airfare, the hotel, most meals, the events we're doing, with not included is some free time. That comes out to about $1,575 a person for people traveling, for the students traveling. We're kind of boxed in by our football schedule because we have a Saturday football game the Saturday before Thanksgiving and a home football game the Saturday after. The only way that we can get our equipment to New York and still be at both ball games is by flying a charter plane. We're flying a charter 767 out of Lafayette, and that's more than half the cost of the trip.
The band has raised more than half of the funds through the sale of Pride of Acadiana marching band apparel, business contributions, and the Adopt a Band Member campaign. Taylor explains the benefits donors will receive through this program.
And we are pairing each person that has donated some money with a student who has been who is the recipient of that donation. So that donation goes directly to a student, and they're in effect adopting that student. So the student contacts the person and lets them know who they are and introduces themselves. Then after the trip is over, they're going to get together and talk with them about the trip and their experiences.
Each student was asked to come up with $1,500, and there are about 50 students who are having trouble raising some or all of the money. And if the students' funds are not reached, they will not be able to attend. Matthew Walling, a drum major for the Pride of Acadiana marching band, recounts how he managed to get the necessary money together to attend the parade.
I took on a job that's during this past summer that's not necessarily the best job that most people would like to have. I did overnight stocking, so which means I worked 5 nights, maybe 6 nights a week, from 10:30 at night to 7 in the morning. And I got paid $10 an hour for that. So it helped me provide my own way to the trip to Macy's.
Band members have already raised $300,000. Walling explains how necessary it is for all of the marching band members to attend.
We do a drill for Macy's. It's one little area that we do a drill, just like you would see at football games for halftime when a band performs on a field. It's going to be a smaller version, but any little gap of a person that's not there has a small impact to a large impact depending on the people that cannot get the money for it.
The band is one of only 10 marching bands selected to appear in the parade. It's the second time that the band has been selected for this event. And along the 2-mile parade route, the band will perform Christmas Cajun and Zydeco tunes along with Let the Good Times Roll in Herald Square. If the band plans on attending the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade this November, they will need to finish raising the $60,000 needed for them to attend. If not, their dreams of going will be ruined. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Emily Page.
Bullying has been pushed into the spotlight because of recent teen suicides that came as a result of it, and Louisiana is lending a hand in fixing the problem. Laura Trahan has more on this story.
Class bells ringing can be a frightening sound for students in Louisiana if it means they will be facing a bully in the hallway after class. Bullying is defined as unwanted aggressive behavior among school-aged children that involves a real or perceived power imbalance. Statistics show that 1 out of 4 teens have been bullied, and as many as 160 students stay home on a given day because of fear of being bullied. 85% of the time, there is no intervention. The victim may be targeted because of appearance, their nationality, or even their sexual orientation. However, the bully figures that he or she is just joking around without thinking about how the victim feels after being taunted. Lauren Vermillion High School counselor Denise Nugent says a bully often makes light of their aggressive behavior and may not realize what words can do.
A common reaction from the kid who's been doing this is, well, I was just joking with him. You know, like, I don't think they take it as seriously as the other kid takes it. Maybe they're just not very sensitive. Maybe they're just not very smart. I really don't know. But it's like they don't see how hurtful what they say is.
Bullying can also take a psychological toll on anyone involved. Short-term effects of bullying include a feeling of isolation and the inability to make friends. They may skip classes or use drugs and alcohol to cope. Long-term effects include the development of depression and suicidal thoughts. The bullies themselves are more likely to drink or smoke than others, and long-term studies show that 60% of former bullies have been convicted of at least one criminal charge. Bystanders also may encourage bullying if they do not stop. Many people think bullies are who they are because of past trauma or to get a feeling of dominance. UL Lafayette psychology professor Amy Brown says that self-esteem also lends a hand to making a bully a bully.
Bullies generally have kind of personality characteristics that's related to kind of like a high but really unstable sense of self-esteem, so that it's like they kind of, you know, want to feel good about themselves, but they constantly need reinforcement for that. So any little kind of slight, you know, threatens to damage their self-esteem. So they try and kind of put on this front of being tough and picking on other people in order to build themselves up.
One major controversy involving bullying is the punishment of the victim because he attempted to defend himself. It could be that the defender got more attention out of a fight than the bully, or something different entirely. Surprisingly, Counselor Nugent urges the victims of school bullying to be firm and even stand up to their tormentor, but without anger or aggression.
The key is that if a kid is being bullied, he doesn't need to lash out with curse words or pushing or hitting or whatever, but he needs to stand up and he needs to say, without doing any of those things, okay, you cannot treat me like that way. That way, you need to leave me alone. This is the last time you can ever put your hands on me, or I never want to hear those words come out of your mouth.
During the 2012 Louisiana legislative session, Act 861 was enacted. It required that all school districts must adopt an official policy prohibiting bullying of students while on any school property. Officials who receive a complaint must report it to the principal verbally on the day of the incident and in writing within 2 days of it. Though there is no way to completely stop bullying, there are those out there trying to prevent it from becoming a bigger problem than it already is. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Laura Traha.
Nothing spells Louisiana like competitive cuisine, and Lafayette is no exception to the rule. But what does it take to become number one in the catering business? Janet Hollinshed has the story.
The kitchen noise sounds like chaos, but it really is about competition, especially at this time of year. Joey's, a Lafayette restaurant, is no stranger to this competition, having catered for the past 30 years. But Joey Bayett, president and CEO, says it's all about not becoming complacent with the customer.
Caring about what you do. You know, it's a huge factor. If, you know, the group that works for you, and the guys that actually are out, that actually do the service and all that, don't care what they're doing, and the guys in the kitchen don't care about the product, then you won't be successful.
Joey says that business boosts from now until the end of the year, involving many small parties and banquets. He shares the company's secret to success and says,
consistency, good product, and good service.
There are more than 500 restaurants in Lafayette, and competition is growing intense as the holiday season approaches. Tina Vork, owner of Joie de Vie Catering, says Cajun culture and the season combine to create a beehive of activity.
I find I stay busier during the holidays. People want to visit more during the holidays and want to gather more people to them. And in South Louisiana, a lot of people, that's just common ground to them. Come on over, come in, we're going to make something to eat, or, you know, that's what people do.
The city of Lafayette, named Best Food City in the United States by USA Today, has competition that even plays out in the press. Joey's received Best Caterer in the Times Best of Acadiana in 2008, 2009, and 2011, and also took second place honors for this year's 2012 list. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Janet Hollinshed.
Louisiana Focus is a production of the Communication Department in the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. It is produced in association with KRVS-FM. Today's producer is Jessica Taylor. The director is Laura Traha, and the faculty advisor is Professor Bill Davey. I'm Arielle LeBlanc.
And I'm Hannah Traha. We will see you next week.